With Amex Platinum, you get priority notify with global dining access by Resy, so you can get first dibs if a spot opens up at restaurants. And compliments to the chef turns into compliments to your Platinum card. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Folks, the results are in. And of course, I'm talking about the college football playoff. We have our first CFP rankings of the 12-team era, and we are talking about it on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. We're on SiriusXM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is Mark Zinno, who does not like the 12-team playoff. What was your biggest takeaway, Zinno, from seeing these rankings in this bracket come out for the very first time?
That whoever made the decision about the lowest-ranking group of five getting a first-round, group of four getting a first-round bye that makes Ohio State have to play an extra game, or the conference champion rule, whatever, it's stupid. Yeah. Just take the top four teams and give them byes. This ridiculousness of automatic bids for anything at this point in time is asinine and silly. There should be no automatic bids whatsoever. Nobody is playing remotely close to an equitable schedule against anybody that we can compare them, that automatically somebody deserves a bye. It's silly. It's bad form. And this will be the only year they do it, I guarantee you.
Well, I agree with you. I think that was one of my first takeaways. It's like, wait a second, BYU gets a bye. Well, they didn't really earn that. Ohio State or Texas definitely deserves that spot, much more so than BYU does. And what's actually interesting is that Boise could end up being the team that gets the bye. If they were to pass BYU in the rankings, then the Big 12 would not get the automatic bye, and it's possible that a team from the Mountain West, that Boise State would end up being your bye team in that number four spot in the rankings. Breaking down some of the matchups, I got two of these are really good, okay? Penn State and Notre Dame, let's start there. That is a classic uniform matchup. It would right now be in Happy Valley.
Do we believe that matchup is as close as it seems?
I think it's right about, overtime close. I don't trust coach. You think Penn State's a much better team?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah.
I think they're a lot better than Notre Dame.
What the Ohio State loss proved to me is that, boy, Penn State doesn't have any offense. You know, that they have some great defensive players.
I think Kerry Collins was the last time they had offense.
Right. Well, Kejana Carter was the running back, yeah. I think.
Joe Juravicius.
Just naming off old great Penn State players. I think it would be sloppy. I would favor Penn State, but I think it would be a highly rated game, I guess is what I'm saying. I'm not sure that it would be the most what's the word I'm looking for? Aesthetically pleasing.
Pleasing,
thing?
Yeah.
In the history of college football, but I think it would be entertaining with two tried and true programs. And then the other one that we get, I mean, Ohio State Boise I don't know, the Buckeyes would probably be a 20-point favorite or something in that game. But the possibility of Alabama having to go to Texas, I think, is intriguing to me. These are teams that even before Texas got into the SEC, they've played against each other the last couple of years. And I think either team could win that game, and it's the best of the bunch of what looks like the first batch of games at the schools of the home sites.
Again, and the other problem I have with this is we spent so much time last year with Florida State and Georgia going over, give me the best four teams. Give me the best four teams. Give me the best four teams. And now we're going to abdicate that whole thing because guess what? A&M, LSU, and Ole Miss are better than Indiana, BYU, and Boise State. They are. They're a better team. They played tougher schedules. They played better opponents. And they're not going to be in this conversation because we're fixated on the loss column, and now all of a sudden a conference championship gets you in.
Yep. Mark, isn't it possible, though, that just because this is the first iteration of what they publish, the committee can totally change their mind
We have a lot of wiggle room here. We have a lot of wiggle room.
They can do whatever the heck they want. Heather Dinich, ESPN College Football Insider, was on our CFP selection special. She was talking specifically about the two-loss SEC teams that should maybe be a little bit concerned about the state of affairs right now. Take a listen.
The two-loss SEC teams should have the ACC and Big 12's second-best teams very concerned. And as you point out, the Big 12's in a little more precarious position because in the ACC, you have SMU hanging out there at 13. But guess what? That Alabama-LSU game, the loser, they're going to drop down. But the winner, what if LSU wins?
Yeah.
They're 15
yeah.
behind Texas A&M. Where do they go? They go up here mm-hmm. ahead of SMU, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at Alabama, 2-loss, A&M, 2-loss, they're ahead of Iowa State, K-State, Colorado. That's an issue for those teams. I think it could also be an issue for SMU because I think the winner of that Alabama-LSU game is going to stay on top of them.
And look, just as an entertaining product, you know, I mean, I would much rather see Bama or LSU in there as opposed to SMU or Clemson or Iowa State or whoever could sneak in from the ACC or the Big 12. I go back to what you said. I think you have to take the best teams, and I'd be hard-pressed to say that I think SMU could beat Alabama on any field at any time, anywhere.
Yeah, again, I don't know that they can. We had Rhett Lashley on last night. I mean, I love what he's doing with the program. It's a lot of fun. You know, they have certainly made some noise their first year in the ACC. But again, I mean, still, SMU athletes, Indiana athletes, BYU yeah. athletes against yeah. the athletes yeah. from Alabama, A&M, LSU, and Ole Miss, it's a yeah. complete mismatch. And again, yeah. I'll go back to what we saw Cincinnati. And this is one of the things I did in when I was breaking down that game from a wagering standpoint, you know, yeah. for Cincinnati versus Alabama. Yeah.
This was the just semifinal a couple years ago.
A couple years ago when
Cincinnati
got it and didn't yeah. deserve to be there.
Yep.
Just plain and simple. Cincinnati's offensive line, average weight was about 275, 280. Alabama's D-line was 310. It's just unfair. Like,
I
it's
don't know.
Not
Has
a
NIL
fair
and
matchup.
The transfer portal changed any of that
no.
at all? Or
no.
we're still really not in a place where these teams physically can match up against
Because even
one
teams
another.
That use the portal, it's 8-10 players.
Yeah.
And more often than not, that's maybe one or two starters, right? Mm-hmm. Two, three starters. The whole defensive line for Alabama still weighs 310. And going yeah. up against Boise State, I mean, it's men versus boys.
Yeah.
It's not
this
a
was
fair matchup.
Ward Manuel is the CFP committee chair, and he was talking about Ohio State versus Georgia. They both have one loss. It's both to a good team. Both of those, you know, Oregon and Alabama are obviously in the playoff picture. Why is Ohio State ranked ahead of Georgia? Take a listen.
They both had great wins in terms of on the road, Ohio State against Penn State this week, Georgia at Texas. But what we felt is in terms of the losses they had, Ohio State lost to number one Oregon by one, and Georgia lost at Alabama, which is ranked number 11. And so that was really the difference. I mean, we're splitting hairs in terms of looking at two great teams.
Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. I guess that's fair. Both of those games were very close, all-time classics, right, that came down to the very end. The problem for Georgia is the way they played in the first half, to me. Also, they have had more slip-ups and bad performances, like at Kentucky, for example, which would be a real concern for me if I was trying to place Georgia. I think Ohio State is destined to end up either with the bye if they win the Big Ten championship, but if not, in that number five seed where they'll likely get Boise State coming to the Horseshoe in December, and I would like to wish them good luck because I don't know that aside from the running back from Boise that any of the athletes on the Broncos of the Blue Turf are ready to take on the Buckeyes at the Shoe. One other interesting note here from Ward Manuel. Indiana above BYU, despite the fact that BYU is lined up to have a bye right now, Indiana has beaten like nobody. Take a listen. Here's Ward Manuel.
Well, two great teams, like you said. I mean, Indiana, their strength of schedule is not as strong as BYU's, but what Indiana has done on the field when we look at those games, they're winning by double digits, averaging 33 points a game more than their opponents. They're solid on both sides, offensively and defensively. They're just a really, really great team, and so is BYU, and so as we contemplated, as we discussed, as we looked at everything, Indiana was ranked number 8 by the committee, and BYU is right behind them at 9.
Yeah, I don't know. Do the Hoosiers have to have a good showing against Ohio State to make this thing? Zeno, I would answer that yes. I think that at the very least, they have to play well in the game.
Yeah, I mean, look, they've been a wagon so far this year. And as you mentioned,
yeah.
they're winning games by double digits. It's not, even close.
They're not squeaking by, but they have not played anybody.
Strength of victory matters to the committee, right? Yeah. So style points do matter. Whether you want them to or not, whether you think it's valid or not, style points matter. And to your point, style points is in hanging with Ohio State and not getting your doors blown off by three touchdowns will absolutely matter to the committee when they really decide what they're going to do with Indiana. But again, you know, how do you compare the style points that Indiana has against the style points of Alabama or the style points of Tennessee or Penn State?
I mean, know what the committee's going to do.
These are apples and orange
comparisons. They're going to take the name brands. All right, coming up next, we will talk NFL trade deadline and grade the moves. Aaron Goldhammer, Mark Zeno, in for Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
In college football, a solid defensive line protects the end zone. And when it comes to fire safety, quality smoke alarms can help you protect your home. That's where Kidde comes in. Their alarms detect smoke over 25% faster, so you can react when seconds count. Plus, they're quick and easy to install, so you can help protect your home turf and get back to watching your team. Defend your game time with Kidde and the Home Depot. How doers get more done. 29% faster average smoke detection based on internal testing of smoldering wood fires for Kidde 9th edition versus leading competitor 8th edition products. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Untuckit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling, on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Untuckit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
NFL trade deadline. Couple contenders making some moves.
The Detroit Lions, this positions them to be the favorites to represent the NFC.
You don't make this move if you're Washington unless you legitimately think that you can make a deep playoff run.
This is Amber and Ian. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto have in common? They're yours, and Progressive protects them both. You could bundle today by going to progressive.com. That is progressive.com. In addition to the college football, we had the NFL trade deadline. So we will get back to grading some of the moves that were made throughout the course of the day momentarily. Zeno, have you been watching this Miami Ball State game action going on right now live in the state of Indiana with Ball State?
I have not. I get excited for Maxion. There was a lot going on today that I had to focus my attention on. So I passed over on the Maxion for this evening.
Well, you missed one of the weirdest fake punt attempts that led to an interception return for touchdown that I have ever seen in all my life watching football.
Okay, then.
Miami tried to run a play where the punter receives the ball and then bounces it on the ground, picks it up, and throws a pass. Like, I guess it's supposed to look like he's drop-kicking the punt, but he actually lets it fall on the ground, and that's supposed to fake out the... Needless to say, Zeno, I recommend you pull this up and watch it. It did not go the way that it was drawn up for the Red Hawks of Miami of Ohio. So, appreciate the effort and the creativity. I'm not sure that I'd be breaking that one out in your high school football playoff game anytime soon. Aaron Goldhammer, Mark Zeno with you, Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. I thought the biggest news of the day beyond, you know, what the Lions did and some teams that didn't make moves, I thought the Commanders really got better. And I'm impressed with what they're doing. I'm excited for their fans, you know, that have been in an absolutely awful place with Dan Snyder for so long. I think Marshawn Lattimore is the one game-changer player who was traded today, and he goes to Washington.
Yeah, again, I mean, it is one of those moves where Washington addressed the need. They're going to be impacted, we would think, fairly immediately, and he would be a key part of what they're doing. It's a shot in the arm for him personally as a player to go from a team that's going down to a team that's on the rise, right? So, yes, it all looks like it's going to work out. Now it just has to work out on the field, you know? And Dan Quinn really kind of is the guy to help make that happen. I think it's going to look like it was the right move in the short and long term.
Yeah, well, Lewis Riddick is an ESPN NFL analyst, was on NFL Live. He agrees with us that this could be the move that puts the Commanders over the top and gives them the NFC East Division Championship. Take a listen.
The Saints were no-brainer sellers, right? And we've seen the Saints. We've done their games.
Yeah.
Marshawn's just not an elite corner. They played elite defense.
Yeah. Mm.
He's come from a defense where these guys, the only thing that really has held the Saints back in recent years was their offense, was consistent quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints' defense have been playing championship-caliber defense. So he has a lot of things going for him that I'm sure Washington wants to just bring into their locker room anyway.
It's as good of a
trade as you can make at this point.
Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. I'm Aaron Goldhammer with Mark Zeno. I was surprised at what the Cowboys did. I don't know why they're acquiring more players as opposed to understanding where they actually are. They trade a pretty good asset, a fourth-round pick, to get a receiver that, you know, I remember from college, you know, but I don't know that I remember a lot of things that Jonathan Mingo, don't call me Barkevious, has done so far in the NFL. They give up a fourth-round pick to get him. How surprised?
Again, it goes back to surprise isn't the word because it's the Cowboys and chaos is their motto. And doing things that are not, you know, consistent with logical thought kind of seems to always be the way. Just look at their offseason. Hey, we need all these things. We need all these players. Let's do nothing. Let's do nothing. Like, you know, that's kind of what their philosophy was. So I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what their philosophy is. I don't know that they got markedly any better. And their path to getting out of the hole that they're in didn't get easier. So did we make a trade just to say we made a trade? Okay. For a team that needs more draft picks, giving one away for a guy who, you know, when I first saw the name, I'm like, wait, is that the defensive player, Mingo? You know, Barkevious? Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. He plays on the – totally different player. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, now I get it.
I don't understand what the Cowboys are doing. And I got to give credit to Detroit because I think that's a team – you know, they've never been to the Super Bowl, obviously, Zeno. And if I am a Detroit sports fan right now, I just see – I'm playing like the best team in the league even though we have a loss and the Chiefs don't. But the path it feels like for the Lions to get to the promised land finally – I know they won some NFL championships in the 50s, but the path to the promised land for the Lions seems open – and I thought they got better with Za'Darius Smith, who does not have to make 10 sacks the rest of the season. If he makes a couple of plays in the playoffs, giving up a fifth-round pick to get him makes the deal worth it with the Cleveland Browns to bring Za'Darius Smith to Detroit.
Yeah, again, I think fans in general and people put too much stock into what the production and the output is for some of these moves. The Lions aren't getting Za'Darius Smith to replace Aiden Hutchinson. That's not. This isn't a one-for-one swap.
Correct.
You're getting him to make the overall defense better and getting him to play part of a unit that was already pretty good, you know, given especially what they were last year. It's not a great defense by any stretch of the imagination, but they're good.
Yeah.
And all you're asking him to do is be net positive from game to game. And that's not a big ask for Za'Darius Smith. That's a good player. So, again, temper your expectations for some of these moves here, especially for teams that are going, like, the Chiefs didn't get the Andre Hopkins going, well, that's what's going to make the difference for us.
So far through one Monday night game, he has changed some things. They got him involved, okay?
But scored 17 points in regulation. 24, sorry.
Fair enough. And if they get 24 points with their defense and they throw two touchdowns to him, that's going to be probably enough for
them to
win
most games. This is not a game-changing, earth-shattering move for the – James, am I wrong in this? It's not an earth-shattering move for the Chiefs that all of a sudden go, well, now – I mean, forget about it. Nobody can touch us. It's an aging DeAndre Hopkins.
They looked pretty good last night. I think
against one of the worst pass defenses in the league in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
Third worst pass defense in the league. And they couldn't even get to 30.
I think that it could end up being a pretty significant move that they made. He brings – a lot of the things to the Chiefs offense that the Chiefs offense wasn't able to do after losing Rashee Rice.
I mean, listen, is he going to line up on side, unlike Kadarius Toney last year in a big game? Yes.
I trust that DeAndre Hopkins is going to do that.
Do I think that he's going to become one of the three or four best players on their team? I do not. But like Za'Darius Smith, I don't know that DeAndre Hopkins, for a late-round draft pick, really needs to be a rock star and put up numbers like he's a Justin Jefferson in order to justify the move, James.
The Chiefs have had a giant problem scoring in the red zone this year. And yeah. DeAndre Hopkins, you saw it last night, two touchdowns in the red zone.
Sure.
I think it's a big move for them. And yep. I think it could end up, you know, being one of the biggest moves in the deadline for sure.
Zeno, I would say too.
Ask the bias Chiefs fan. Sure. Go ahead.
The Chiefs red zone issue, you know, at some point, 87 is going to get out of whatever preseason he's been in and become. He's becoming a more certifiable target for the Chiefs in the red zone. And I think in a playoff game, they would be using maybe the greatest tight end of all time to go to in some of those situations that they weren't in a week two matchup or whatever against the Cincinnati Bengals, right?
Yeah, that's fair. Also, I wasn't overwhelmed with them adding him. I didn't know how he would fit, but it looks like that's going to work for them. That's all.
Yeah, for one game, scoring a couple touchdowns on national TV
in the red zone, it's very promising. That was a huge issue.
I'll tell you this, as somebody that, and I know nobody cares about my fantasy team, and I hate fantasy football. Are you done playing fantasy?
I'm so over it. I don't know how people do this every year still.
ESPN
I don't get it.
I was 99% to win a game that I lost because Kelce and DeAndre Hopkins went off on me because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can't cover
guys. I want those
guys.
Sites to move those percentage things off. I want them done.
It's terrible.
I want them done. I want them out.
It's just frustrating. All right, up next, we've got a little segment that we like to call Big Deal, Not a Big Deal. And we're going to do it right here on Amber and Ian. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He's Mark Zeno. We're in for the gang on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
It's basketball season, baby. When you're playing with BetMGM, you don't need to be 7 feet tall with a 7 foot wingspan to get into the action. Oh, you're betting with the big boys now. I'm talking over points, under assists, and exact rebounds all day. Fade away jumper from the left wing, hitting nothing but net type of vibe. This basketball season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Official college football playoff 12 team rankings are out. We've been breaking it down. Also talking NFL trade deadline tonight on Amber and Ian, ESPN Radio, ESPN app. We're on Sirius XM Channel 80, and we are presented by our friends at Progressive Insurance. Big deal, not a big deal momentarily. Zeno, did you see Mookie Betts came in second place in a random scratch bowling tournament a day after his third World Series championship parade? How impressive that a guy can go from winning the World Series to just rolling into the lanes and lighting it up. I don't know. Is bowling a game or is it a sport?
It's not a sport. It's a skill.
Okay.
I mean, the definition for a sport for me is very clear. Okay? Mm-hmm. Number one, you have to compete on the same court, field, whatever it is, at the exact same time as your opponent.
Yeah.
So you can't do it like one after the other. It's got to be at the same time simultaneously. And two, if out of shape, overweight people can do it, it's not a sport.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you can drink while you do it. I mean, I know people have this issue with golf, but I don't bowl without a beer in my hand. So, if you could drink a beer or smoke a cigarette while you do it, it probably in 2024.
The only exception I have to my rule is gymnastics.
Yeah.
Because it is so – listen, there are more Navy SEALs than there are elite gymnastics in the country.
I mean, they are putting their life on the line. But you say figure skating – no. You say figure skating, not a sport. Gymnastics is a sport.
No, figure skating – well, again, the lack of competing at the same time is a problem for me. But, look, I was a male cheerleader, okay? I was I cheered in college and in the NFL for the Ravens. Cheerleading, not a sport.
Yeah.
Never has been, never will be. Yep. It's a skill, it's not easy, but it's not a sport.
Yeah, you have to be in shape to do it. We're not saying that, but I don't know that I would put it in the...
Okay, cycling, not a sport.
Hold on, racing is not a sport?
My uncle, who's 70 pounds overweight, can ride a bike. It's not a sport.
No, but he can't ride a bike up the Alps
doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Physically, anybody can. My 9-year-old son can ride a bike. It's not athletically challenging.
Big deal, not a big deal. It's time for us to hit it.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
We bring in the producer of Amber and Ian, James Steele. We call the segment Big Deal, Not a Big Deal. He throws out the topic. We have to decide whether it is a big deal or not. What's up, James?
Hi, guys. Bartolo Colon pitched in the major leagues. I'm not sure. There's a lot of holes in this. If you're overweight and can do it, then it's not a sport. Argument from Zeno. I'm just saying.
Would you like to keep doing it?
No, I'm just
listen.
There
are 300 pounds. Hold on a second. You're clarifying. There are 300-pound defensive linemen who are, quote, overweight, but they are athletes. So it's not the same. It's not just step on a scale. There is an amount of athleticism that you need to be able to do it. There's no athleticism in riding a bike.
Yeah, there's balance. There's cardiovascular endurance.
Riding a bike up a mountain range requires a certain amount of, being in good shape and athleticism. You can't do it if you're 70 pounds overweight. Good luck.
Sure you can. You won't do it fast, but you can get up that mountain.
I don't know about that.
I don't know that you'll make it. I think you might pass out or you might fall over the mountain and end up at the bottom of a ravine somewhere. Big deal, not a big deal is the segment, James. Let's get it started. What do you got?
All right, let's start with Joel Embiid. The Sixers superstar will be suspended for 3 games without pay for shoving Philadelphia Inquirer columnist Marcus Taze after Saturday's loss to the Grizzlies. The NBA announced on Tuesday, quote, mutual respect is paramount to the relationship between players and media in the NBA. Joe Dumars, the NBA's EVP of basketball operations, said in a statement, while we understand Joel was offended by the personal nature of the original version of the reporter's column, interactions must remain professional on both sides and can never turn physical. Zeno, big deal, not a big deal. Joel Embiid suspended 3 games.
I mean, it's a big deal. The Sixers need him. Every win matters as far as, we don't think about it now, but when we get to April and they're looking at seeding and figuring out, these wins matter. So, but look, we all know that Embiid knows better, right? Like, it was a stupid thing for him to do. You can't do it. You cross the line. Now you got to pay the piper for it. But it's a big deal that he's going to miss games.
Yeah. I think, too, the columnist was well over the line bringing family into a criticism about that he doesn't play enough. I thought that was ridiculous. But we live in America. You can't put your hands on somebody in a locker room. You want to have a conversation with about off. I totally understand that. I look at Evan Cohen, who hosts on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. He posted his Embiid update today. Zito, he's been suspended for 3. He's had a shove. He's had a fine. He's had a technical foul. There have been 2 investigations launched against him. That's all so far this year, and he has played in 0 games so far this year for the Philadelphia 76ers. What do you got next, James?
Well, speaking of Evan Cohen and Unsportsmanlike, Chris Canty this morning on Unsportsmanlike had this to say about what he thinks about the Saints and Cowboys head coaching jobs.
If you had the right trigger man, if you had the right quarterback, you could win a lot of football games in that division. So I think that job ends up being more attractive than the Dallas Cowboys opening would be if Mike McCarthy is not brought back this offseason. So when we start talking about power ranking him, I would lean toward the Saints job just because I'm not going to have to deal with Jaden Daniels and Jalen Hurts.
Hammer, Canty thinks the Saints head coaching job will be more attractive than the Cowboys if the Cowboys becomes available this offseason. Is that a big deal or not a big deal?
To me, that's not a big deal because I think it's kind of a ridiculous opinion. I mean, the Cowboys just have straight up way more talent than the Saints do. And the first thing a coach is going to look at for job stability, Zeno, is who's my quarterback? You know, in New Orleans, I don't know how to answer that question. And they're in total salary cap hell. They're in total disarray. It's feeling kind of hopeless down in New Orleans. I would much rather, even though it's dealing with Jerry, I would much rather be the coach of America's team than I would the Cowboys. Big deal, not a big deal. Zeno, what do you think?
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, look, to the same point that you brought up, you know, I think when it comes into this stuff, you know, the totality of it all goes together. So I agree with you. It's a big deal.
All right, let's stick with the NFL. The Colts recently committed to Joe Flacco as their starting quarterback, sending Anthony Richardson to the bench. As a result, there have reportedly been teams sniffing around and inquiring about Richardson's availability. At the trade deadline, according to ESPN's Stephen Holder, the Colts did not entertain any such trade offer, informing teams that the 22-year-old quarterback was off limits. Holder indicated that multiple teams had reached out to ask about Richardson, though they were all given the same response. Zeno, big deal, not a big deal that the Colts were just shut down any trade talks for Anthony Richardson?
Not a big deal, because they weren't going to do it. I mean, look, the Colts, whether they'll admit it or not, knew Anthony Richardson was a project when they drafted him, which is why they pulled the plug on this project now, because diminishing returns were all you were going to get. So it was time for him to watch. It was time for him to learn. It was time for him to go back to the drawing board to try to salvage what is left of the juice in this lemon of the fourth overall draft pick that they overdrafted a guy for.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
I think it was a bad pick. I think it was a pick made by an owner. It goes to show you taking a guy who's played very little college football is a huge risk. And now I think they just kind of almost need to reset his career at this point, because I think after the whole asking out of the game incident and his completion percentage and how much better Flacco has been, I find it hard to believe that I still think Anthony Richardson's the quarterback of the future of the Colts. He'll play again, Zeno. He'll get back on the field for sure. I just don't know that you could tell anybody that you still think that he's your franchise quarterback based on the way he's played and the way he's acted mostly on the field since he got drafted in Indianapolis. What do you got next, James?
I don't know if you guys have seen this lately, but touchdowns have started to be celebrated by the players doing headstands.
Yeah, what is this thing?
I'm not sure. It's a very viral thing that's happening right now. And last night, Eli Manning got in on the whole thing. And he did a headstand on the Manning cast after
a touchdown. No way.
Yeah, he did a headstand on the Manning cast. So, Hammer, big deal, not a big deal that Eli Manning can actually do a headstand.
Oh, to me, that's a huge deal. The Mannings get miscast as slow, plodding, unathletic quarterbacks. Nothing could be further from the truth. They were blessed with the genes of Archie Manning. Arch Manning can actually run.
I hope so.
I'm not saying that any of those guys are going to... Yeah, no kidding. I'm not saying that any of these guys are going to be the next Lamar Jackson, but they have more coordination than just throwing a 10-yard out pattern. And to me, it's amazing that
I don't know. I mean, they both
can every NFL
kind of...
player do a headstand? Come on, Zeno.
No, but they both look kind of klutzy at best. You know, like, it just, them moving gracefully doesn't look like it's something that we're used to seeing. The fact that Eli did it, now I have to go find this, by the way, James.
Yeah, definitely.
The fact that Eli did this.
I couldn't believe that it happened. I saw it on Twitter this morning, and very, like, it looked like a yoga pose. I was shocked that Eli
so,
yeah.
So just to let you guys know, I think where this comes from, Texas high school player pulled this move, okay, and it got flagged for excessive celebration. And there was video of it all over the place, and there were so many players mad because they thought it looked cool, they decided that they would start now pulling out the same celebration in honor of the kid in Texas. That's sort of the way I understand the trend. If we're wrong and we don't know what we're talking about, 888-SAY-ESPN, you can jump in, Amber and Ian, Aaron Goldhammer, Mark Zeno on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. What do you got next, James?
That's all I got. We're headed up to a break, so that's all we have.
Oh, let's get out of here, right. Question.
I guess we're out of big deal, not a big deals then, aren't we?
Is that
we?
A big deal?
Not that big of a deal. All right, up next, we will give Zeno the choice. We can either talk about Joel Embiid. We can possibly talk about Aaron Boone and a headline that made him angry. Or we can discuss Pop-Tarts. One of those three things will come up next on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. Don't. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like four of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying two or three times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPNPOD for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNPOD and use code ESPNPOD at checkout.
And presented by Progressive Insurance. You can hit us up, Dr. Pepper, call in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Zeno, you're going to be shocked. I know you were eating a Pop-Tart, I think, earlier tonight. You claim it's an acceptable snack for an adult, and I've never had a Pop-Tart before in my life, so maybe
really?
We're working together tomorrow. Maybe
really?
It's time for me to try my first Pop-Tart. Never had one before. Never eaten a Pop-Tart before. Not toasted, not untoasted, not cold, not hot. I am absolutely a Pop-Tart newbie.
Really?
Yes.
That's shocking.
Shocking.
They've been around since the 50s, for crying out loud.
We didn't have them in my house growing up. I mean, my mom was kind of a health nut. We ate cereal.
I am a health nut. I work out regularly. I eat very healthy and very clean. But every now and then, I got a sweet tooth. I got a big sweet tooth, and I would like a snack. And so tonight, after dinner and before we started the show, I decided my snack was going to be a s'mores Pop-Tart.
And do you toast the s'mores Pop-Tart?
No, never. Or do you just... Never. I never toast them.
Hold on. They're called a Pop-Tart because they pop out of the toaster. So if you don't pop the tart, it's not a Pop-Tart.
Okay, then just give me the tart, okay? I'll just take the tart minus the pop. Okay? I mean, you know,
Better not toasted?
I think so. James,
it depends.
I think so.
I mean,
it depends on the flavor.
Yeah. I think like the unfrosted brown cinnamon sugar are
very
elevated.
Good.
They get elevated
when you put them in the
toaster, maybe a little bit of butter on it.
Yeah.
That's aggressive, but yeah, I get where you're going.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
If I was going to try a flavor tomorrow, is there one that's like the strawberry or the raspberry?
Chocolate? What do you want? Like, there's so many flavors now. We've gone overboard with flavors for Pop-Tarts and Oreos. Let's just get that out there. Like, an Oreo is off the charts. We need to stop. But, when I want something sweet as like a snack, I usually go for the s'mores or like the cookies and cream, like the Oreo flavor. Like those are my snack pop. I don't eat the regular flavor, like the blueberry, the cherry, the strawberry. Like my kids eat those.
Yeah.
But I don't.
So maybe this is the distinction, that the kid flavors are Pop-Tart for breakfast. The adult is the sweet tooth snack when you're doing a radio show in the middle of they sort of divide based on what flavor profile you're doing. Now, here's my thing that I would say, having never tried a Pop-Tart in my life. They're absolutely marketed only towards kids. I mean, when I was growing up,
we got a Pop-Tart bowl, for crying out loud. It's a football game now.
There is? Because I remember Pop-Tarts being the kids are waiting around the toaster. It's the quick grab breakfast on their way to school that specifically, like Honey Nut Cheerios and Cinnamon Toast Crunch, there was a specific marketing place directly and really focused on, the shows that young adults or kids watched.
I mean, again, I guess you're right. They are marketed to children, but I know a lot of adults who enjoy a Pop-Tart. I think it's an acceptable snack. I think if you're hungry and, you're looking for something a little sweet, a little savory, the s'mores Pop-Tart just, it hits for me.
Fruit roll-up, acceptable or unacceptable for an
adult? No, totally gross. Totally gross. It gets stuck all in your teeth.
Fruit by the foot?
My kids eat those things. Totally. Like I can't deal with all the chewy, gumminess stuff. It's not for me. Look, as an adult, if you want to eat it, I get it. Like, you know, it's a quick little, you know, gummy snack, I guess, to have.
Yeah.
But, like, I would rather eat, like, the Welch's or the Mott's little gummy things instead of a fruit roll-up. Like, sometimes
so
the kids have those hanging around, and
oh
I'll just take
God.
A little thing and just shove the whole pack in my mouth in one shot and just, you know, trying to chew the whole thing. But, you know, you get the point. It works.
So the other one that I do all the time now is I have chicken fingers, it feels like, twice a week. Because
really?
Of my kids. They don't finish them, and I see them sitting on the plate, and I know that's a kid food and not an adult food. But I end up shoving them in my mouth, and I'm sorry, they're good. I'm not gonna take responsibility for it. I'm not going to take getting ripped for it. They're tasty. They're delicious. I don't know that I would order them myself as like a main course meal in front of anybody else. I got to tell you, the chicken finger has made a big comeback in my life since I had children. Amber and Ian are presented by Progressive Insurance. You can hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Zito, please explain. There was a headline that really upset you about one of your favorite sports teams today.
I mean, look, of all the headlines, given the night that we are witnessing here in America, of all the headlines I saw that would tick me off the most, I didn't think it was going to be one that read, Cashman shows support for Aaron Boone, because that's the one that pissed me off the most. That's the one that has me more angered than anything else I'll see in politics tonight. My God. I guess apparently Brian Cashman sat through the entire playoffs with his eyes closed and just looked at the results and said, oh, we won a game. Cool. Okay, good.
I do feel like I could coach the Yankees to the playoffs. You know, hey, Judge, go hit a 3-run homer. Hey,
well, he didn't do that. You mean Soto and Stanton?
Not in the playoffs.
Right.
He did in the regular season, though. He did plenty of that in the regular season. The moves, though, that were made in the playoffs, I guess I'd give you the two things. The Nestor Cortez, 39 days, hadn't pitched. Letting him pitch to Ohtani and Freeman is brutal. Brutal. And then also,
especially
the
when Tim Hill, who hadn't given up a run the entire postseason,
right
the lefty
there.
Is on the bench. And then, oh, by the way, in game four, he brought Tim Hill in for the same exact situation.
And he got the job done.
And he got the job done in a game they were losing.
I guess he learned from his mistake. The
Such
other
an idiot.
One I'll give you,
so
I think
bad.
That this making errors and base running mistakes, I mean, even in the LCS when they probably had more talent and certainly a bigger payroll than the Cleveland Guardians did, but they're making base running mistakes. They cannot catch the ball. I think that is a poor reflection of the manager. You know, are you working at this stuff? Do you prioritize that stuff? Because you have to play all those phases of the game if you want to beat a team like the Dodgers, you want to win the World Series.
Let me give you an easier microcosm of how bad of a manager he is. When that fifth inning was falling apart for Gerrit Cole, who is your ace, by the way, who was cruising, and you could tell because he had been out there longer, after the Freddie Freeman base hit, he was laboring.
Yeah.
Do you think that Boone got off his fat keister and walked out to the mound to at least slow everything down, to at least just get him some breath, to at least, like, you know, I would have went out there and made the umpire come out and break up the meeting.
Yeah.
I'm just here to kill time. I don't have anybody warming. I just want you to take a couple of breaths. I want you to recollect yourself. We need a couple of quality pitches here. And I wouldn't have said anything other, and I wouldn't have said the pitching coach, because guess what? I'm the freaking manager, and this is my team, and this is my moment to manage, and this is my way of working through this situation to keep my team in the lead. What'd he do? Sat there like this, just hanging out on the edge of the dugout, looking
and
like nothing's wrong.
Continued, and suddenly the game was
You know what my other favorite part was? You know what my other favorite part was? This is the same guy who loses his mind over a ball 2 inches outside and in May against the Blue Jays, and yet Kleber Torres gets called for strike three, 8 inches out of the strike zone. Boone doesn't make a peep. Now all of a sudden we're just going to be quiet. Now all of a sudden we'll just sit there and take it. Listen, I said it 2 years ago, and I'll say it now again. The Yankees will never win a World Series with Aaron Boone managing this team, period. Period.
I guess
done.
I'll put it in these terms. I think if George Steinbrenner was still alive,
he would have been fired 2 years ago.
Cashman was not.
They both would have been gone.
And look, maybe it's a good thing. They're probably three of the times Billy Martin got fired, he didn't deserve to get fired, going all the way back to the 1970s. But Steinbrenner didn't put up with a lot of the shenanigans and mismanagement.
Steinbrenner would not have survived 15 years without a World Series, appearing in one.
Despite the fact that they pay what they pay for these players and for this team, I would have to agree with you. There was also a note from Cashman about whether, you know, they're going to go after and get – if they don't re-sign Juan Soto, I think that's going to be a terrible look.
We all quit.
For Yankee fans. Yeah, I mean, they better pony up and they better find the money.